James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, in an essay titled, What Suffering Does, David Brooks wrote, "We live in a culture awash in talk about happiness. But notice this phenomenon. When people remember the past, they don't only talk about happiness. It is often the ordeals that seem most significant. People shoot for happiness, but feel formed through suffering. But the big thing that suffering does is it takes you outside of precisely that logic that the happiness mentality encourages. Happiness wants you to think about maximizing your benefits. Difficulty and suffering sends you on a different course. Recovering from suffering is not like recovering from a disease. Many people don't come out healed. They come out different. A time of trial or suffering is a time when your status as vulnerable is made increasingly clear. We like to think of ourselves as being immune to the troubles of the world, unaffected by various disasters, natural or man-made. However, suffering and trial, times when life is suddenly afflicted with accident, disease, imminent death, force us to examine our life, to see what protection there may be, what resources may be accessed, what gods on which to call for help. The gods of our lives are quickly brought to the fore in times of trial, and the question of just who or what is our God lies at the heart of these times. This is about the object of faith. Martin Luther explained it this way when he addressed the topic of the first commandment in the Large Catechism. He said, "What is one's God? To whatever we look for any good thing and for refuge in every need, that is what is meant by God. To have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in him from the heart. To whatever you give your heart and entrust your being, that, I say, is really your God." And so what does a time of trial reveal about your God? It's a crucial question, especially so since tragedies strike people whether they are Christian or atheist, Hindu or Muslim. The most recent evidence of this truth is the earthquake in Nepal. The physical end for all of those people was the same, no matter what they believed, just as it is for all of us, even without such a natural disaster striking so close to home. The question put to the Christian church, to believers in Christ, is what makes your religion, or any religion, different? Why not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? What advantage is it to follow Christ if we experience little difference in this life that we can know through our senses? James tells us that because we know that faith tested in times of trial produces patience, that the fall into trials then is to be counted as joy. But that doesn't make sense to us. We are more likely to see trials as times of sorrow, despair, anger, frustration, and self-pity. Where is the joy in those? And in our day, when immediate gratification of anything and everything I want is expected, even demanded, any talk of patience is delusional. Patience is about waiting, but I don't want to wait, and I hate anything or anyone who forces me to wait. I want to know that trials, pain, and suffering are good right now. I don't want to be forced simply to trust at some undefined point there's joy going on. In the gospel from this past Sunday, John 16, Jesus used the term a little while to describe the time between suffering and glory, between persecution and rescue, between cross and resurrection. But that little while is not defined in minutes or hours, weeks, days, years. It's a statement from our Lord that is to be received by faith, trusting Jesus to be with us, to take care of us, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Our sinful flesh, our human reason, balk at this, just as we rebel against anything that dares to show us as we truly are, those who at heart prefer idols to God and lies to truth. This is not about karma. It's not about what goes around comes around. It's not about some balance in the universe. It's about the truth that we finally do not know the ways of God with the detail we would like. And we learn to live in repentance and faith, seeing ourselves for what we are, seeing our Savior Jesus Christ for what he is for us. We learn what it means to return to our baptism, what it means to live that way with that blessed work of God receiving us into his kingdom. We confess that that baptizing with water means that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, that a new man daily come forth and arise, who will live before God in righteousness and purity forever. The testing of your faith produces patience. And in that patience, there is joy. Joy because you learn what it means to rely on Christ and not yourself, on his strength and not your weakness, his love and forgiveness, and not your own attempts to just deal with it, whatever it is. As we will soon pray to Jesus in our hymn, in suffering, be thy love my peace. In weakness, be thy love my power. Jesus Christ, his love that brought him through cross and trial, through suffering and death, is the one who makes the difference, who brings the joy. We struggle in the little while when the joy is hidden, but we do so in faith, confident in the Savior who promises to be with us always. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God grant you trust in his truth and promises. In Jesus' name, amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.